pray for us. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your life-giving word, sharper than any double-edged sword that divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judging the thoughts and attitudes of our hearts. As we hear your word today, please keep us from merely listening to the word and so deceiving ourselves. Instead, help us by your spirit to do what it says. Amen.
Today's reading is from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. Brought to you by James. Yes, I got a laugh. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body. It sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbour bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
Well, let me introduce you to three people. Samuel has had a long day out of a workplace, and he comes through his front door and immediately notices a problem. Food isn't ready and there's a mess. He looks at his spouse and gives her, "What are you doing?" look. And then actually says that, "What are you doing?" Well, consider this. Fiona is at a workplace and her colleague suggests something to improve the workplace. But it's not actually a useful idea for the workplace. So Fiona's response to her colleague is, "Why would you suggest such an idea?" And finally, Teresa and Alan are discussing what's happening at church. And Teresa says, "That guy Rasul on Sunday doesn't have a clue about anything." Now Alan feels sad and is unsure how to respond because Rasul is their brother in Christ. I'm sure you can notice in these examples that there are stark problems. And you might be able to relate to some of them. Now my experience is that it is easier to speak with anger or selfish motives to those closest to me. I still remember how easy it was when I was a child to speak with an evil intent to my parents. Our words matter, and what we say to people matters, especially how what we say or what we say. What we say has eternal significance. Life and death hang in the balance. So today we come to some confronting and serious words today in this letter. We will be warned today, but we will also be drawn to the wisdom of God so that we live as a peacemaker. And we need to hear these words from God. So don't think these words won't apply to you today if you couldn't relate to the examples I gave. There are many examples I could give. So these words today matter, and they're for our salvation. And these words, this letter from James, was written specifically to those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you don't trust Jesus yet as your ruler, then you can still listen in today and consider what the implication is for you. God still speaks today. So I hope that you know in your mind and believe in your heart today that wisdom from God is needed to speak with humility rather than to speak out of bitterness. I'm going to be expanding the passage with four sections. So firstly, who should become teachers? Secondly, the words we say. Thirdly, the life we live. And fourthly, a harvest of righteousness. I'm going to be speaking in response to reading and meditating on these words in James from chapter 3, verse 1 to 18. So please have them in front of you if you can, so you can consider these words with me and make an informed response today. So big truth for today, wisdom from God is needed to speak with humility rather than to speak out of bitterness. So who should become teachers? I'll read verses 1 to 2. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Now I need to hear this, but we all need to hear these words too. This is a heavy warning. It seems that the focus is on those who teach God's word to the church, but a teacher is one who teaches to listeners, so this can apply broadly. This can apply to those who teach children God's word. So I think James is focusing on pastor teachers over a church, but also teachers in Bible colleges, because they have a significant responsibility to care for the flock of Christ and prepare the next generation of pastors and teachers. But we need to remember that Christ Jesus is the chief shepherd, so his under-shepherds or pastors are to teach God's word with purity and sincerity. Teachers of God's words are firstly servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and servants of Jesus therefore firstly serve Jesus in what they say and do. Teachers of God's words need to have a sure desire to know God in his life-giving word and a loving devotion to God our Father. So if the gospel of Jesus Christ is not central to a teacher, then there is a problem, a serious problem. If a teacher is failing to explain the whole counsel of God to the people, which means actually teaching from books of the Bible in the way we've been given the Bible, then there is a serious problem. If a teacher talks more about himself or about his vision rather than God's word, then there is a serious problem. And finally, if a teacher of God's word doesn't care about the brokenness in the world and doesn't think sin is such a big problem, then there is actually a serious problem with that teacher. A teacher who explains the truths of God will be judged more strictly. So consider carefully if you want to be a teacher of God's word, and don't ignore the heavy weight which is put on teachers. So as I'm here now, I feel this weight. Paul Hunt knows this weight on his shoulders. He is a primary teacher for our church. Paul bears primary responsibility under Christ for teaching us God's good word. We need godly and faithful teachers. When we teach children God's life-giving word, we need to recognise the honourable yet significant responsibility we have. So don't put yourself under the teaching of anyone who doesn't recognise the serious responsibility of teaching God's word and knows clearly his own shortcomings. Now James actually gives us one important check about our own attitudes to what we say and how we teach others. So if you think you are perfect in what you say, then you are able to keep your whole body in check. But can anyone control their whole body all the time? What happens when you get sick, or when you're tired, or when you need food? We are dependent creatures. We need more than ourselves to survive. We can't keep our whole body in check on our own. In the end, our bodies are mortal. Our bodies are decaying one day at a time until death. We sometimes speak rashly. We can't ignore this. So let's now consider further the words we say. From verse 3. Now, I don't expect many of us to have experience putting bits into the mouths of horses, but hear what James says. You can control the animal through putting bits into the mouths of horses. Horses are big animals. And this small bit, you know, it's not that big, I've seen pictures, they're not that big. You put it in the mouth and it leads to a human who is smaller than the horse being able to control the horse. The horse will obey the one who controls the bit in its mouth. Secondly, James shares us an example of ships. A large ship is driven by strong winds, but the pilot directs the ship through a rudder. The rudder is small in comparison to the size of the ship, as we saw on the screen before. I've also been on the Spirit of Tasmania, and the rudder isn't that large in comparison to the ship. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Our tongue produces our words, which our brain decides to say with our hearts behind it. Our words can reveal arrogance, but our words can also reveal a great God. So James continues, consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. We know the damage of a small spark to a forest, particularly on a hot summer's day. Only earlier this year did Australia have devastating bushfires. There were many different bushfires over the country, and many began from one small fire, even one small spark. People died, and many people lost many, if not all, of their possessions besides what they were wearing. The nation felt the devastation. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Now that's hard to hear. But to truly make any response today, you need to have an answer to this. Do you believe that to be true? Do you believe that if you are left to your own devices, that your tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body? Do you believe you need help to control your tongue? James is telling us that our tongue is itself set on fire by hell. Our tongue, our words, can do significant damage. Hitler, well, he spoke with fiery words to control a nation and start a war. But Jesus, well, he spoke with compassion and judgment to turn people away from living against God, to live for God and his glory. You can grumble or slander someone behind their back, or you can speak with encouragement and thankfulness about someone. Let's keep going. So verse 7. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now I've only tried to tame a chicken and it worked for a period of time, but then the chicken went crazy. But I also understand that taming a dog is not an easy job. To tame a dog requires persistence, regular commands and discipline to the dog. So humans can learn how to tame animals, and we do have the ability to tame animals, as many have done. But sadly, we cannot tame our own tongue. Now this may seem devastating, but hear from God's word. Our tongue is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Now, mainstream educational psychologists these days wouldn't like to hear that. Mainstream educational philosophy teaches us that we are innately good. We just nurture it into doing bad things or saying bad things. What we have from God's word today is completely different. Yes, we were made in the image of God and we were good, but sin corrupted humanity. We can still do good and say good things. But don't think you have your tongue under control, because you don't. Your tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now if you're gathered by this or angry at this, then this isn't the time to stop listening, because James hasn't finished. James wants us to hear the hard truth, because only after hearing the hard truth can we understand the need for transformation. So verse 9. We gather together here to praise our God and Father, as we've already done today. But we also curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. I can praise our amazing and eternal Lord Jesus Christ, but then I can be back at my house with Crystal, my wife, and say, why did you do that? Have you found you've done something like that? James knows those he wrote to have done something like that. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Our unity in Christ is at stake, which is on display to the world. Can we demonstrate our radical love, which cuts off anything that is evil and destructive? We are not to curse one another. This is not to happen. Just as a salt spring cannot produce fresh water, we are not to produce words that come from evil motives. We are to speak with praise and encouragement and speak the truth respectfully. Cursing, slandering, or grumbling about others is not who we are. So as those who trust Jesus as Lord of all, we are new creations, filled with the Spirit to live God-honouring lives, lives that are more and more like the Lord Jesus himself. So we have our lives ahead of us, but we aren't going to change just by learning and telling our brains to change gear. We need heart transformation. We need to train our hearts to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ rather than to slander. Our words matter and our words do affect people. But God's words actually bring life to our souls. So we need to be bearers of a life-giving word, not words that draw people to hell. So training begins in your thoughts, prayers, and what you decide to read or listen to. Then training continues in your household and what you say, and then to different relationships. We need to hear from James, we need to hear more from James now, because we've heard a lot about our own tongue, but we need to consider what God's wisdom can bring. So the life we live. James has left us in a difficult place, but he knows we need more to understand transformation and be people of purity and love. From verse 13, "Who is wise and understanding among you?" Now this is where we need to consider carefully if we can put our hands up. Do you put your hands up to answer yes because you know how good you are? Or do you put your hands up to answer yes because you know that you are in Christ and how good Jesus is? James reaffirms again in this letter that our life demonstrates our beliefs. If you believe that you are wise and understanding, and I want you all to believe you are in Christ, then we need to show it by our good life, by our deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But before we hear more about wisdom, here's another warning from James. In verse 14, "If there is bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, then don't go telling others about that and deny the truth. Go and deal with this bitterness and selfishness before our Heavenly Father. If it is regarding a person, then go seek forgiveness so that there is reconciliation. Don't deny the truth of the gospel, which is to bring about reconciliation by living a lie and not wanting reconciliation but harbouring bitter envy. A life of chaos and evil practices stem from people who carry selfish ambition and ignore the need for reconciliation. Don't be that person. I grieve when I see brothers and sisters in Christ acting as though repentance and reconciliation are foreign to them. We need unity in Christ. We need true wisdom from God to be transformed day by day and to seek after a harvest of righteousness. So fourthly, a harvest of righteousness. In verse 17. Now this wisdom comes down from heaven. This wisdom can only be received by those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus came from heaven to earth, and he embodies wisdom completely. Jesus is God in flesh. So if you want to live a life humbly recognizing that you can't change by yourself and that you can't control your tongue, then Jesus is your solution. To receive Jesus means turning away from trying to control your tongue and letting Jesus be in control. And once you do that, you can seek forgiveness for living in control and know that you are forgiven. James describes what wisdom, which comes from heaven and what it is. I'll focus on three of the key aspects of this wisdom: purity, peace-loving, and being submissive. So firstly, purity. For those with faith in Jesus Christ, if you believe that you can't control your tongue, then God's wisdom will purify you so that you speak with purity. Peace-loving. If your tongue leads you to cause disorder and chaos, then Jesus, who is our peace, reminds us of the peace we have with him by the power of the Spirit. The wisdom from God urges us to be peace-loving to others. And being submissive. Jesus submitted himself to God his Father and obeyed his Father to death, and then to life again as Lord over all. Submission to one another, to those in authority such as our pastor, wives to husbands, and even to governing authorities, all under Christ, is a wise response. Wisdom from God is needed to speak with humility rather than to speak out of bitterness. So in the end, why do teachers need to be careful? Why do we need to be wary of the tongue? And why do we need to consider our lives before Jesus? Eternity hangs in the balance. Souls of people are at stake. We live a life of unity in Christ so that we may sow in peace. We sow not just seeds, but the very words of God, and particularly the momentous gospel of Jesus Christ. We sow the news that Jesus is a good King indeed. Jesus has won your freedom into eternal life. Jesus is awesome. And Jesus is coming back to judge, so people need to repent now and believe Jesus, because he is coming one day soon. Believers in Jesus want a harvest of righteousness. We don't desire to see people go to hell. We want to see those around us righteous in God's sight when Jesus returns. We don't just want to talk about Jesus, but we also want to demonstrate righteous lives too, as James has already instructed us in this letter. So let me say again, wisdom from God is needed to speak with humility rather than to speak out of bitterness. To conclude, if you come back to your house after a long day, then pray that you will be a considerate and peace-loving husband, father, or husband or wife, father or mother. Speak with encouragement and thankfulness. If you're in the workplace and someone is hard to relate to, then pray you'll be a person full of mercy and good fruit. Then actually speak with a heart transformed by the Spirit of God, to speak not out of evil desires, but for God's goodness to be known in this world. And if you have difficulties in church or in relating to someone, then remember to be submissive. And remember the importance of purity and unity. Don't let bitterness infect the purity you have in Christ. Be reconciled and continue to be one who sows in peace, proclaiming the gospel of God, because you will reap a harvest of righteousness. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thankful to you for your wisdom that you give us. Our tongue is full of evil, and from the fire of hell, we can speak words that are so destructive. May we feel that today and understand that though this is who we are, and it's very sad that this is who we are, you do offer us an alternative than living a life this way. You do offer us your wisdom, and through unity with Christ Jesus, we can be empowered by your Spirit to speak words more and more that are encouraging and uplifting and come from thankful hearts, that you are daily transforming us as we submit to your Son Jesus, submit to his will. Please do that for each one of us, and that through doing that, our unity in Christ will be more and more on display to this world. That we are people of love rather than people that seek to hurt and cause disunity. Thank you, Father, for your wisdom. Humble us today. Amen.